Welcome to Waiting for Guidance. Here are your hosts, Adam Spangler and Greg Lawless.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Waiting for Gaijins is what it's actually called. We just found that out this week, Adam. We were watching Walt Barr, the old man from 1950.
It only took us 6 weeks to figure that out. It's cool.
It's cool.
You know me and my pronunciation. Yeah, I'm really good at those.
You always say Yosie, which kills me. There are times I want to reach across and punch you every time you say Yosie.
I'll mispronounce everything. I'm sorry, everybody. It's terrible.
Greg Lawless and Adam Spangler here on the Waiting for Gaijins show. This week, we are going to be joined by a very special guest, Dan Wersema, who is the
Hooray Beer.
He's the man behind the free beer movement, which is a pretty interesting way of garnering new soccer fans here in the United States.
I like it. Doing his part.
Doing his part, one beer at a time. And we're also a little later on going to be joined by the legendary Shep Messing, who's going to give us his take on everything about the NASL and the Cosmos.
And his mustache.
His mustache, a little bit about goalkeepers, too. An interesting take on goalkeepers, I believe. We'll ask him about that. But first, before we even get going, number one in the starting 11 is to talk to the free beer movement man, Dan Wersema.
For all those people out there that are not up with the movement, are not, you know, they don't realize that what you're really here saying, basically, is that it's our job as American soccer fans to buy non-soccer fans beer, right?
That is exactly it. I mean, it's
and if we do that, they will then become soccer fans.
Well, certainly it's a higher percentage than those who wouldn't normally have given soccer a chance. So the big thing is that what's going on here is, you know, if you take 10 people and, you know, they may or may not like soccer. But the real thing is that they're going to get a shot.
Literally.
Literally, yes. Literally and figuratively at, you know, checking out an American soccer game. And so often I think American soccer suffers from stereotypes and misconceptions that it's boring, it's unexciting, you know, that it lacks a proper atmosphere. And, you know, any one of those 10 people, if through the prospect of beer you get them through the door, is going to have a real chance at becoming an American soccer fan.
So,
and I think
you're basically admitting and encouraging the fact that atmosphere is created by alcohol.
Yes.
Or enhanced, we should say. Right? Enhanced.
It's a talking point. It's just like a girl at a bar or your buddy at a bar. Like, come on, you don't want to go. Come on, I'll buy you a beer. I mean, that's basically how I read it. It's like, come on, I'll buy you a beer. The beer gets them in the door. Hopefully the product sells them.
It loosens their inhibitions to finally admit that soccer is great.
Yes. I've always made the uncomfortable joke that soccer occasionally is like the ugly girl at the bar. And sometimes it takes a few beers to make it look a little prettier. And then afterwards, you're going to realize that she's got a great personality, and it's worth sticking around for.
And maybe she gets crazy, just like American soccer.
Exactly.
She gets crazy.
Maybe she gets crazy.
Right. Some days she's awesome, and she can beat Spain, and some days she can't.
Just leave before she wakes up.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
Exactly.
That's right. So, Dan, what has this worked? This is my question.
I've thrown you guys off your
totally off my game. So no, honestly, Dan. I mean, has it worked? I mean, it's an interesting theory, but has it worked?
Absolutely. You know, I've had people all across the country who have sent in, you know, various stories and pictures about, you know, them taking people who never given American soccer a chance or, you know, barely a second look, and you know they've gone to Dynamo games, they went to MLS Cup. You know, even, you know, the near-defunct USL League where I take Bull from Austin, Texas, you know.
Go Aztecs.
Yes, go Aztecs. If they've got a league to go in next year.
Hook 'em horns.
Yeah. Hook 'em horns.
But, you know, I've gotten stories from all across the country about people who are saying, listen, you know, without this sort of hook, you know, this social lubricant that is beer, these people would have never given a shot. And then afterwards, they said, I wasn't expecting it, and I enjoyed it. I had a great time. You know, I had a friend who took another guy to the MLS Cup in Seattle. And, I mean, talk about a great way to sell American soccer.
Absolutely.
The guy is just all about getting Sounders tickets now.
Absolutely.
I had a girl who took her boyfriend's friend, and he's all about going to Dynamo games at Robertson Stadium.
First,
I met a girl in D.C. who first soccer game went with her boyfriend and a bunch of his friends. She ended up sitting midfield, got Landon Donovan's jersey at the end of that game after the awesome final against Costa Rica.
That's a good first game.
A typical experience, but it's certainly like, you know, stuff happens when you go to these games and have good times. It's an automatic good time, I think.
Here's my thing with the free beer movement and why I love it. It's because it's different. I mean, it's silly, yes, and we can go on and on about its silliness. But it actually...
a little dangerous. But other than that...
It actually motivates some people. It's just original and fun.
Yeah.
Whereas so much on the blogosphere these days is just sort of the same old thing. There's way too many websites talking about the same thing, pumping out their 500-word reactions to whatever the news of that minute is. And I'm just sick of it, and I love the fact that here's the free beer movement, just making fun of things, teasing things, trying to get Frankie on board, because clearly Hey Dude's going to be your man for this job. And I don't know. I love it. I think it's hilarious.
It's really important that, you know, we take a fresh look at what it means to be an American soccer fan. Mm. And, you know, I've always said it on our website is I don't do news. I don't do analysis. Like, that's not what this site is. This site is to have fun and promote the game unabashedly. You know, whether we say Major League Soccer is this or the U.S. national team is that, that's not really the point. You know, we don't conditionalize our American soccer fandom, and we're just trying to have fun with it. And, you know, I know you guys work in and around American soccer. If you could have Frankie Hayda give us a call, we'd be more than happy to get and work something out with him.
Final question. Which beer is your favorite? Which beer have you found does the best job of bringing in the hordes?
You know, for me personally, there's I'm from Wisconsin, and there's a local brewer called Lakefront, and they make an awesome beer called River West Stein, and it's like a red lager, and it is absolutely heaven in a bottle. I love that, but really it comes down to you buy whatever the hell that person wants, because they're in charge, and you're trying to sell them something. But
you are building U.S. soccer fans one beer at a time, my friend.
I think we need to slap that on a T-shirt.
I think I've got a hangover just from that conversation. Number two in the starting 11. The U.S. announced this week the formality of Holland as a friendly on March 3rd, and also the January friendly against Honduras out in Los Angeles. What do you think?
January 23rd.
January 23rd.
Hey, friendlies are fun. Whatever. They're friendlies.
They are friendlies.
You get to see some new faces, hopefully. Other than that, I'm just past the days of getting up for friendlies.
Yeah, although, you know what?
Unless I go to them, and then it's a bit of a different story. But
there's something special,
and clearly,
though.
Clearly, I'm watching every
about
second
playing
of it.
Holland, though. There's something very special.
In Amsterdam,
about
no less.
In Amsterdam, playing the Netherlands.
All I say is we got Amsterdam. If this Mexican rumor apparently is true, they're playing them in Innsbruck. So we got Amsterdam.
At least we got Amsterdam.
Mexico
so,
gets Innsbruck. So yeah, we won out on that one.
Let's hope our guys make sure they get to the stadium when they're in Amsterdam.
Yeah, that might be a nice spring break for some of us. I don't know. That might have to happen.
I think it should definitely happen. I think
that
Joe Gijens might be over in Amsterdam for a couple of days over there. Well, the January camp, of course, leading up to the Honduras game, there have been no announcements as of yet as to who's going to be in there. We did see this week that Kevin Alston from New England and Chris Pontius from D.C., we saw rumors that they were going to be called in.
And you've got a new name for
us.
And
Jeff Laurentowitz from the New England Revolution, I have heard, is also going to be called in. So far, at least on the few names that we have seen, it seems like they're doing the right thing and getting in a bunch of young guys who they're not going to help in 2010, but maybe 2014.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it doesn't seem like anyone in Europe's getting a call unless their season's already on break,
right?
Which I think some of the way Northern Europe kids are. But, yeah, I mean, so you basically most of your starters aren't coming to this camp, you figure.
Right.
But
you know what? Considering the injuries that the national team has right now, right?
You
need to look. And you also need to realize that, you know, maybe Chad Marshall, he needs another game in there against an international team, because if he's going to be called in for the World Cup – he's got to have some games under his belt, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, it should all be the youngest kids, people we've never seen, and some of those guys who are trying to get onto the field that have been around.
I'm calling it right here. Bring in the 16-year-old. And who is it? Dilly Duca and Dilly Duca. Jill, right? Luis Gil. Bring them all in. Bring in all the kids for this one. That's what I would like to see. But
and I'd like to see Jonathan Bornstein trotted out on a Roman chair during the Honduras game so everyone can placate to him. It's going to be great.
Like, he'll be the oldest guy on the field.
I'm expecting at least handshakes all around from the Honduras team, like strictly for Jonathan Bornstein.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Sure there's got to be some little funny twist that will happen that game because of Bornstein.
Moving on to number three in the starting 11. We were talking about national team players. We're talking about some guys coming in for the January camp.
For sure.
But let's be honest. The big name right now out there on everybody's mind is
Run DMB.
Yeah. So he scored a great goal this week. A sick goal.
Ridiculous.
So a little bit of a Ronaldinho goal.
Out of nowhere.
And immediately, the blogosphere, everybody was wondering. Well, they're wondering. I mean, you know what? I actually will give some credit to our media corps that didn't just jump in and say, he has to be our starting left back or left midfielder again. Is he ready? Do you bring him? When do you get a chance to look at him? You're only really going to get a chance to look at him in Holland or against Holland in March. You know, is he back?
I mean, I feel like he's back only for, I mean, who else are you putting there right now who's like sold in that position? Like, I feel like he's, you know, if he continues this little run, he's been doing just as well as anyone else has. So, I mean, why not bring him back? I mean, we'll see. It's, again, I feel like ever since that knee injury with that kid, it's just been trouble and it's clearly something's been off. And maybe, I mean, sometimes you feel those guys where it's like the injury's fine, but they really don't come back to be themselves for another year after an injury.
Yeah, but how important would it be to get him back? I mean, think about it.
Back to like 2004 or five days.
Exactly. And you get him on the left side or on the right side. It doesn't matter. You put him on either one. With Landon on the other side, and you get, and then you can put Clint up top and let him play up top as a guy who can hold the ball up top.
The one thing I'd like to know about Beasley is exactly where his speed at. I haven't gotten to watch any of the Rangers games. They haven't really been on New York City TV anyway. Right. So, I mean, yeah, while he's hitting his, you know, ridiculous goal here and there, does he still have those legs? I remember when we saw him on the field the last time, it didn't really seem like he did. Sort of lost that step, and that's his game. If he doesn't have that step, then all of a sudden now you're looking at, you know, back to, I don't know, someone else up there.
Yeah, maybe.
But, hey, I've always been a fan of his. I always liked, you know, the speedy youngsters. So.
If he keeps doing it the way, you know, look, it's just a couple of games. He started in the Champions League game, right? So, or he started, he started the league game over the weekend.
And played in the Champions League game.
So, I mean, look, it's a start. If he can continue to do it over the next month or so and start to really pick up his game. And here's the other thing that came to my mind is there were rumors that he's being shopped around. There's rumor that Fulham is interested, right? If they are, or if that's the case, is Rangers sort of just putting him out there to be seen?
I mean, I guess you say yes, but he's playing pretty well. So, I mean, at that point, I'm not sure. I don't know the Rangers well enough to say who's like sort of sitting on the bench because DeMarcus is playing and whether that seemingly makes sense or not. But, I mean, I just think of it from the U.S. MNT window. And, I mean, Fulham wants Beasley and they're pitching Johnson, so... Johnson's quote-unquote back in the fold, so certainly Beasley needs to be.
send EJ up to Rangers and Run DMV goes down to Fulham. It'll be interesting to see how that one goes. Another name over in the British Isles doing well, Marcus Hahnemann starting in goal now for Wolverhampton Wanderers. They had a couple of good run outs, and then they kind of...
Got crushed.
Okay, got crushed against Man U. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, what? Fine.
But he's playing well. Where is he in the depth chart?
You kind of want him, maybe. You want him number two, maybe?
I kind of get that feeling from you. It's not that I want him number two. It's that I believe in players who are playing and that they deserve to be given the benefit of the doubt a little bit more. Brad Guzan, great goalkeeper. Will be the U.S. goalkeeper for years to come. He's only, 25, I think. Right. So he's got many, many years to go, both... at the pro level and at the national team level. But he's not playing right now on a regular basis.
But the guy is who I think probably should be number two, especially World Cup. Like, let anyone play in something else.
Who you got?
Yeah, Brad Friedel.
Oh.
I mean, come on.
All right, I want to hear this. Why?
I mean, he's playing well. You're starting for, you know.
So why not make him number one?
Well, because I think Tim Howard's a tremendous goalkeeper, too.
Which one's better?
I like Tim Howard. I think his athletic ability is a little stronger than Friedel's.
But is he a better goalkeeper?
I mean, I think he is.
You said his athletic ability, but is he a better goalkeeper? That's my question.
I think he's a better goalkeeper. I'd rather have, I mean, we're, you know, whatever you want to say, we're making choices. I'll take Tim Howard over Friedel.
Mm. Okay. All right. I would too. But only because, not because necessarily that Tim Howard is a better goalkeeper right now.
Right.
I do think that ultimately Tim Howard is a better goalkeeper and probably will, after his career is done, look back on it and be a better goalkeeper. But I think that Friedel, the way he's playing right now, his experience at the international level.
And that's why you like him in the World Cup.
Why you like him in the World Cup. Absolutely.
That's why I want him as my stopper, where it's like, God forbid something happens to Howard. Friedel's more the guy who can just step up off the bench and I feel like be as good as, you know, anyone.
Whereas, and then bring Guzan as number three and Hahnemann's out again.
Oh, probably. I mean, I'll take Hahnemann or Guzan there. I feel like neither of those guys is playing. So, you know,
right.
Whoever you have in that spot,
well,
sort of like,
see, that's where
emergency.
It comes to experience again. I think you need to bring Guzan, get him used to being at a World Cup. You know, I remember
the
Italian national team used to always do that. If you look at the Italian national team through the 80s and 90s, actually, the guy who was the number three goalkeeper 4 years later was the starter.
Right.
It's really amazing if you go back and look at it. It was like Angelo Peruzzi was number three.
And no one was able to jump over that at all.
Zenga was number three in 86, and he started in 90. And it just sort of went on and on again. So
what happens to number two on that team?
They just get jumped. Gone. They like play the European Championship in between, and
that's
then they're
tough.
Done. Yeah, you don't want to be the number two goalkeeper for Italy.
If you want your kid to be like the goalkeeper for that team, you need to have him on a year specifically so he doesn't miss that jump.
Exactly. So he's like too young 1 year, and then he's perfect age the next one. So moving on. Number four in the starting 11. Well, we were talking about players getting into the national team fold, and there's also, you know, talking about players in MLS and being lost. News came out this, I guess it was last week, about Gabriel Funes. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I have no clue.
You know, who is an Argentinian kid born in Argentina, moved to Texas when he was 10.
Yep.
And then a couple of years ago won the Sueno. That was also won by Jorge
Flores
out in Chivas USA. He won the one in Dallas, Funes did.
And his brother plays 12th, I read, as well. Same competition.
Wow. It's a good family for football right there, huh?
Not bad.
Not bad for football. But now he's starting at River Plate. I mean, well, first of all, my question is, how did Dallas let him go or not recognize that they should maybe keep him on and develop him?
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is not one I really blame MLS for. From what I've read and from what I gather and how I just feel about these situations, this kid made a conscious choice that I'm Argentinian. You know, obviously he has this pull to his home country.
Obviously,
their fantastic history of, you know, these awesome soccer teams, River Plate, Boca Juniors, what have you. I mean, MLS has nothing to compare to that. There's no heartstrings being pulled to stay in FC Dallas,
right,
who, you know, okay, they're terrible, but they're also just don't have
a
history.
Terrible. They almost made the playoffs.
Well, I mean, as sort of a whole MLS example, they're not exactly one of the best.
They almost made the playoffs.
I just think, I mean, until, you know, you have generations of kids and parents, you know,
growing
up in
Spain. What do you think of this whole Sueno thing, honestly?
I think they could do a lot more with it than they are doing with it, honestly.
How so?
I mean, you don't even really hear about it. It just sort of happens. I think you could do
well.
You could sort of,
but remember, you and I are not sort of tapped into the Hispanic media world,
and
who knows whether that Sueno thing is big. And we should do some research and check that out.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I like it. I mean, hey, why not? I mean,
if you're finding players that way, Flores. Look, I mean, the guy picked up in this random. Basically, it's an open tryout.
Yeah,
he gets picked up. He signs a deal with Chivas. Next thing you know, he's on the under-20 national team at the World Cup.
I mean, it's a silly sort of reality TV show way to do it, but this is exactly what we need more of.
If you're finding players, that's
lifting
one
up
way
every
to do it.
Rock and crack to find the best players, and that's clearly not really happening right now.
Speaking of superstars, number five, Landon Donovan. The man of the hour, the man of the moment, if you will.
Man of the year.
Yeah, the man of the year, in fact, has just signed an extension with MLS. His deal will now go through 2013. Good signing. Let's look at both sides. First of all, from an MLS standpoint, good signing?
Well, they love it, don't they? I mean, it's beautiful. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, at any point, some foreign club, if they really want him, can come in and buy the contract, you know, buy anything.
They can dish out the $10 million or whatever it would take to get him out of his contract.
This doesn't affect that at all as far as, you know, post-2010, Landon does fantastic. He can go wherever he wants if he really wants to, and a club is willing to pay for him.
Good deal for Landon?
I think that's where a little bit of the debate goes. I feel like from little I've, you know him and have followed him over the years, he seems to be a happy kid in the situations he's at, and it's one of those things where he's made the decision that this is what he likes. He's obviously comfortable. He makes enough money doing what he does. He right. feels the competition's good enough. And again, I think he understands in the back of his mind that it doesn't matter at this moment where he signs. Like, 2010 is going to be it. Yeah, I think he got the loan. He wanted out of the deal.
Yeah, that's true. It was also, you know, sort of down buried in the press release about how they'd also given him permission to right. negotiate a loan deal somewhere else.
Right.
And, you know, we all just imagine it's just a question of getting the paperwork done for the Everton loan deal, probably until mid-March, and then back in time for the opener against New England at home yeah. on March 27th.
I guess the main question is would you have rather him stayed in Europe until the World Cup, and had that been the deal, he comes back after?
Frankly, me, no. I'm actually glad, and I might even go so far as to say, don't go at all.
Right.
Don't go. Just stay and rest.
Like, what are you getting in those 10 weeks?
What are you getting in those 10 weeks? You maybe get a little money, right? That's about it. But right. for me, how important is it to
English
get
players
your rest?
Looking to hurt you.
Yeah. You know? Or, I mean, he could maybe make the argument he will learn some of the English defenders.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to be the guys in the first game. There are a couple of Algerian defenders in the league as well, so he'll have to deal with them.
I mean, I like him playing at the high level of play. I mean, I like the loan for that reason.
Okay. I understand that. But let me just throw this out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Bring it.
Playing at this whole playing at a high level thing. One of the things that happens every summer with the World Cup is people say they're exhausted after a full season.
Right.
Landon has a chance to rest in the offseason, then have 2 months, 2.5 months of MLS play, so he's fit, right? And then he's ready to go for the World Cup. Why does he need to play at this high level? Also, and here's the other side of this, he's proven again and again and again that he doesn't need to be playing in the Bundesliga or the EPL in order to beat and compete against the best in the world.
As he
showed at the Confederations Cup. He was on MLS, right?
Yeah.
Now, I will say, all right, he had that time in the Bundesliga. Maybe that sparked something in him. Maybe he needs to fail at Everton so it'll spark him for the World Cup. I don't wish that on anyone, but it's a thought.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick with he's already had a month off, and I think that's enough time to rest, and he needs to be playing and playing well and playing against the best people he can. I think that's how he's thinking about it.
I don't know.
And then he can come back and get his rest, quote unquote, when MLS starts.
I just think.
And he'll have, you know.
But remember, this year he played an extra month compared to last year.
Correct, with all the tournaments.
With all the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and going to the MLS Cup final, he ended up having an extra month of play and training. Right. Plus, he had a lot of travel with the national team last year.
He did.
You know, so to me, it seems, I mean, look, I wish him all the luck at Everton. I think it's a great move for him in terms of exposure, in terms of learning, you know, at another high level. But I also wonder about rest. I mean, it's something something I think about is the rest heading into the World Cup. That's all I'm throwing out there.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there. Number six. We're going to college. Landon Donovan.
Wait, time out. Time out. Okay, wait, what? Oh, we're talking about college.
Yeah.
Time out. I want a time out. Time out. Free subs. Time out. Free subs.
Oh, that's right. We're in the middle of the half. So we need
to put him back in. Put him back in. He came out in the first half. It's second now. Put him back in.
I like that.
The only thing I can even begin to comprehend is the golden goal. Like, I kind of sometimes think, like, oh, that's not the worst idea, but I'm not clearly sold on it.
All right, well,
and the NFL, it's the worst thing
anyone
in the world.
There might be someone out there, God forbid there's someone out there that's not a soccer person that's listening to this, but there might be someone who doesn't know what we're talking about. All the wacky rules in the college game. We watched the College Cup. I was actually impressed by the amount of interest in the College Cup around the soccer world. I thought that was
good this year than ever.
Obviously, Akron coming in at 22-0 helped, and that was interesting. You had three ACC teams in the Final Four as well.
You had the coaching sort of suspicions about hires.
Exactly, and Caleb Porter for Akron. You know, and of course, you know, the Spangler family putting out their good vibes about the Zips.
And I call my dad that morning and be like, you watch it? And no one even picks up the phone. They're like out at like the antique fair or something probably.
He was looking for an antique Zips sweater for you. That's what he was doing.
He really better have been.
So you and I, of course, were a little flabbergasted by the rules stuff.
It's just hilarious. Like,
what was your favorite wacky rule?
I think I don't know. The timeout's got to be the winner.
My favorite
one? Random middle of that timeout.
My favorite one was that you can just insert a guy for the penalty kicks.
Yeah.
And this guy comes running onto the field, hasn't played a minute of the game, and he's allowed to take a penalty kick. That blew my mind. I was like, number one, who is this guy? You know, he nailed his penalty kick, so
he did.
Give him some credit for that.
Clearly, you know, he's good. He's good at that,
and good coaching. The guy probably can't trap, but he can blast a penalty kick in. That was a wacky one. I don't understand why the NCAA just doesn't let them play their game.
Yeah, I mean, it should be they should play by FIFA rules. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, a little weird. Well, poor Akron. They came in undefeated, and of course, another rule for them.
Yes,
that
they actually. Should have tied, you know, as the general conventions go, you know, PKs,
they
ties.
Lost in PKs to Virginia, and normally that would be a tie, but the NCAA has a very specific rule that says if you lose in penalties...
In the championship
game, it's considered a loss on your record. So
I feel like if they have PKs and they're saying somebody won in any game, then it's a winner. It counts as a loss. Like, okay. If you don't want it, then just end it as a draw and call it a draw.
Right.
If you're having PKs anytime, it's a loss if you lose PKs.
Crazy. But speaking of Akron, number seven, we just mentioned a minute ago, Caleb Porter, the coach for Akron, had been rumored very strongly to be named as head coach of DC United. And eventually he signed another contract, an extension with Akron, and said no to United. First of all, what was DC United thinking?
That's where I'm clueless on this. Not that I don't think he has the potential to be a great coach and is a great coach. He's a real young kid. He's barely older than me.
But he's 34.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just his age, but how do we know he's a great coach? He coached Akron.
He's a good recruiter.
He's a great recruiter, obviously. It's not to say he's not a good coach. He is from Michigan. So right away he gets a little bit of props. All right. So
and they played the prettiest of the soccer. Maybe not always the best. But, I mean, I was thinking it from the semifinal game. I was like, they're sort of the Arsenal of college soccer, the way they sort of move the ball around.
Very nice way to put it.
And then Kyle Martino said it during the second game.
Well, it's because you texted it to him.
Well, something like that. But, and, I mean, it made sense. So it's like from that, you know, you heard the Porter stuff and I had those same questions like, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
And you see his team play and you're like, I'd love to see an MLS team play like that. I think I've yet to see an MLS team play like that.
Yeah, but then again, you have to look at who they're playing against.
Yeah, no,
so
for
if he
sure.
recruits the kind of guys that want to play like that and they're playing against the teams that can't do that, he's going to look awesome.
Yeah.
Saying that, I think that Porter was smart enough to recognize that that is a huge step up.
Huge.
You know, and
cooker as well, because of the team situation.
Right.
They need to win. They sort of need to win now.
Would he be able to get Christian Gomez's respect and confidence?
I don't know.
Would he be able to earn Jaime Moreno? Would Jaime Moreno listen to him? What if Caleb Porter decided he wanted to bench Jaime Moreno, you know, for not trying or something?
Right.
What would Moreno do?
They'll talk to Ben Olsen, probably.
Well, Ben's not there. Probably say Ben. You know. So, I think it was smart. It puts DC back, not at square one, but... Looking at the Richie Williams and Robin Fraser, I know they had an interview with Robin Fraser for that position.
I mean, my whole thing with the Porter thing boils down. I put myself in his shoes, and he's like, okay, here's your two choices. You can take this job, which, huge step up, huge promotion to MLS, one of the fancier franchises the league has in DCU with its history and whatnot. No matter how good you do, you're getting fired in probably 3 to 5 years.
Right.
Well, you just signed a 5-year cushy extension at your tiny school in Central Ohio.
Right.
Where you're king. You get to do what you want when you want to do it. Probably making pretty good money. I never saw any dollar figures there, but that sounds really good, especially in this economy. Like, come on.
And looking at the larger picture of it, I think it would have sent a terrible message to the assistants and the guys who are learning the game in MLS. The Robin Frasers,
but
Richard
you always
Williams.
Have those sort of guys in any sport. Guys leap up out of nowhere. I mean, Lane Kiffin got the job at Oakland Raiders, and everyone was like, "Well," and of course, he quickly failed and got fired. But
So you do, but you know what? The college guys were coming into the league 15 years ago. Well, 10 years ago, they were the guys who had to be taking over in MLS.
Right.
Now there's a track record of guys who've played for 10 years in MLS who then become assistants and then can become They've seen the league. They've learned the league. They've learned how to be coaches, how to be professionals, how to treat professionals.
And we don't see their names popping up in a lot of these sort of job lists.
I think you're starting to. You're starting to. so I think that ultimately, I think that Caleb Porter made the right decision, and it'll be interesting to see where DC goes from there. Number eight, the NASL has been
back to Michigan with you again.
We're
on
back
this
to
one.
Michigan on this one. I called a guy over at the Michigan Bucks who said he couldn't really talk about it because they're all under, you know, strict orders.
They are a PDL team, correct?
They're a PDL team, yes. Right. Because I was curious about, well, all this is going on at the Division II level between USL I and NASL.
This is totally under the radar. When you said this, I was like, that's perfect. Like, yeah, what does this guy have to say? We haven't heard any of these sort of PDL owner coaches talk about this
right,
that much.
Because it affects them. Yeah. You know, it trickles down. And everyone knows it's going to trickle down. So I asked him what he thought, and he said, you know, he said it's unfortunate that that these two ownership groups could not set their differences aside for the good of what has been built in Division II soccer in America and where we are heading in 2010 and beyond. Having said that, I hope that very soon logic will overtake the emotion involved here and that everything can be worked out for this season. That is the positive side of me that has kept us going in the sport for the past 30-plus years. So Dan Duggan, who's the owner of Michigan Bucks, is the guy I talked to, and he brings up a good point that, you know what, these guys have been, it's been a labor of love for many years for these guys. You
for
know?
Sure.
They love the game. They want to see it develop more. So with the NASL and USL threatening to sue each other, supposedly the Federation is going to end up deciding how it all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, there's been the one thing thrown around that, like, before Christmas we're going to hear something from USSF finally.
Awesome.
I mean, we made an
interview. Rudolph is going to bring it down.
We made an interview request for USL and
yep.
the New Rock guys, and I really just wanted to speak to their lawyer. I wanted their lawyer to just legally break down the framework of sort of what, you know, the specifics of everything.
Yeah.
They declined very politely. Right. Hopefully, once they can talk publicly, they'll come talk to us. But yeah, I mean, the lack of information here is just so frustrating.
Yeah, but it's understandable. I mean, this is all legal and business stuff. You know,
it's like player cliches. Like, sometimes you wish the players would just say, like, no comment. Instead, you get a cliche where, which is what we're getting from these guys at this point.
Oh, Shep Messing, the former goalkeeper for the New York Cosmos, former Playgirl,
we're
going to
find out what magazine that was,
model, and current ESPN and New York Red Bulls commentator, is going to join us right now to talk about the NASL.
Well, Shep, you and I, of course, have a great relationship from working with Extra Time on MLSnet.com. But over the course of the years we've worked together, you and I have talked about the Cosmos many times, and you've always been very quick to say, you know what, the Cosmos are dead. This is not about the old time anymore. This is not old school. We're looking forward. It's about MLS. It's about, you know, Red Bulls, Galaxy, Beckham, Angel, things like that. And yet, just this year, in the last couple of weeks, the NASL is back. So, first of all, what was the first thing that came to your mind when you heard about the return of the NASL?
I'm still laughing at that introduction because all the things I told you over the years, Greg, and Adam, he's 100% correct. You know, let it lie. It's history. Let's move forward. I've totally changed my mind.
Oh, no.
No, I follow it, guys, with great interest. And look, the Cosmos name has been much talked about. I am so proud to have been a part of that history. And look, I think it's human nature in any sport when you kind of forget what the guy did before you. So, you know, if you ask a baseball player who's making $5 million riding the bench who Kurt Flood was, he probably has no idea where free agency started. And
right.
If you ask a guy in the NBA who Julius Erving was in the ABA, they don't even know. So am I proud of that part of history in American soccer with the Cosmos and the NASL? Absolutely. I am a big proponent of building a bridge, not relying on the past, but I think it should be recognized. So to answer your question, when I heard about the NASL, tingle of excitement. And the NASL was a special part of the history of professional soccer in this country. For me, it's all about going forward and Major League Soccer and new stadiums and everything that's been great the last two decades. But yes, the NASL, I think, has a proud heritage in this country, and I hope whatever they do with it, they do that heritage proud.
you've obviously got a lot of friends still sort of working in the USL and now NASL business end of things. I mean, was this something that really blew your mind when the whole sort of breakaway happened, or did you sort of see this coming?
I really didn't. I don't. Let me give you a couple of sides to my thoughts about it. And again, I'm speaking without any real knowledge about what's going on, other than what we're all reading and hearing about. Mm. So the USL, and Francisco Marcus in particular to me, who was back with the original Tampa Bay Rowdies back in our day, I think he really filled a void in the market in the United States when there was no professional soccer. And what has been done over the years under his guidance with the USL at a developmental level, at a youth level, not necessarily at the top-tier professional level, I think he's got to be recognized for what the USL did at a time in this country when soccer really needed them at many different levels. Having said that, from what I've read about Nike's sale of the USL to a third party in Atlanta really seems pretty ludicrous to me. Hmm. And I certainly support and understand from what I've read about those owners in the previous USL who wanted autonomy to run their own franchise, who in fact were bidding to purchase that very same USL and felt that the rug was pulled out from under them. Mm-hmm. I certainly understand their desire, their vision to have their own league, not to have a league office and to have a sale to a third party that didn't have a team in the league. So, you know, again, I'm an outsider looking in. Anything that's good for the growth of soccer in the United States or North America, I'm in support of.
But
so,
do you think that this move will be good for the growth of soccer and the development of players?
Well, again, I'm an outsider looking in. Mm-hmm. I think at the top-tier level, in terms of the professional teams, from what I've read, I know who Jeff Cooper is with an expansion team in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I know Traffic is behind the Miami venture. They have Aaron Davidson running them. I know Selby Wellman down in North Carolina.
We spoke to Andrew Nestor, the owner for the Tampa Bay Rowdies, a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so, I do not know him.
Yeah, but good guy.
So I applaud what I read about their vision going forward for the top tier of what will be the new NASL. That's not to say, when you asked about, you know, is it good for soccer, you know, at the lower tiers from youth development on up, there's so many other things I understand under the auspices or umbrella of the USL. Mm. So, again, I'm an outsider looking in. It strikes me as the right thing to do for this group of breakaway owners to try and have some autonomy and control their own destiny.
We talked a little about the Cosmos before in your time there, and there's since it kind of was a little blurb, and we really didn't hear much more about it, that it sounds like Pepe actually finally sold the rights to somebody who, from what we've read, you know, wants to turn them into sort of a global Harlem Globetrotters kind of team. What do you know about that, and what were your sort of thoughts about that when you heard that go down?
That's a great question.
Hey, I'll sign up to play for the Washington Generals role in that one.
Let's put it this way. I can say that I do have knowledge of that transaction, and I can say that what has been written, for example, the Globetrotters, none of those notions are accurate from the knowledge I have. So to the extent that there is a transaction that will potentially take advantage of the Cosmo name and history both globally and domestically here, my feeling is it's absolutely on the right path. Mm. And I think I'm trying to figure out what I can say and what I can't, but the notion that it's some type of barnstorming, you know, Harlem Globetrotter,
right,
event-driven transaction, from my knowledge, is not accurate. And if everything I've heard from the parties involved pans out, I think it'll be spectacular, not only for soccer, but for Major League Soccer.
So are we talking about Cosmos in the MLS or in this new NASL, potentially?
I think it'll be spectacular.
Say no more.
All right. So Shep, you brought it full circle into MLS. So let's look a little bit to the team that you have been covering for many, many years here, the Red Bulls. Eric Soler signed on as the new, boss, let's just say. He's got about four different titles, I think, there.
Right.
What do you think about a move bringing this guy in who doesn't really have any experience in MLS or even the U.S. for that matter? Who would he be looking for in a coach?
Greg, because you're my partner and my friend, and Adam, you're becoming one, I'm always going to sort of look at both sides of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So my knee-jerk reaction when I saw that Eric Soler was brought in with his background, where he comes from, what he's done, in what country, I'm saying, you got to be kidding me. I mean,
right.
I my knee-jerk reaction was just total shock that how can this franchise in this marketplace, in what's coming up to a critical year for them, for Red Bull, how in the world can they do this? I mean, it just made no sense to me at all. Because of the landscape and the mind bumps and the different nature, as you guys know, of building a team and putting it on the field, given the constraints or the issues or the challenges of Major League Soccer, or collective bargaining agreement, salary cap, the American player. I mean, this is a guy who really, admittingly, has very little knowledge of anything that's gone on in this country.
Which, by the way, could be the greatest saving grace in it.
So there you go. So that was my initial knee-jerk reaction. Where I stand today, which is how many weeks removed, 3 weeks or four weeks from him being hired, I think it could be absolutely spectacular, because we all in life and in soccer and in Major League Soccer tend to go along with, okay, it's working, let's reshuffle the coaches, you've got to be MLS American-centric, if you're an assistant coach, let's hire him. So I like things that are out of the box, and this one's out of the box. This is out of the box if you look at who has succeeded in Major League Soccer over the past, 8-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Siggy Schmitz or Bruce Arenas or Stevie Nichol, or you guys know the drill. So this one's out of the box, but I'm really starting to like it. I like for this league, Major League Soccer, to open their minds and explore new avenues to putting on a better product.
I certainly appreciated, I think, that he said, I don't know what's going on.
Yep.
That was the first, because I was with you, I was just thinking, oh no, here we go again. But you know what? He said all the right things.
Now, that's where I was coming from on that. Like, he did say everything. He knew he doesn't need, know a lot, but he's going to learn. And
right.
I feel like he doesn't necessarily need to be the guy who knows absolutely everything, as long as he hires the right people. And
correct.
If he knows soccer, he can still help, build a team out, whether or not that comes back is impossible because he can't afford the players he wants. I guess that could happen, but...
Although he's been familiar with that in Norway, where he can't go out and just buy any player. So I'm really embracing the fact that they didn't do what has been normal in Major League Soccer over the last couple of years. This is a difficult market, as you guys know. And look, I want anything that's exciting, that's vibrant, that's more open-minded, that's embracing of better soccer, not just what we've done yesterday and keep reshuffling the deck.
I couldn't agree more. Shep Messing.
You're the man. As always, Shep, you are absolutely the man. And we have to say, so we wanted to ask one last question.
We have to clean up some trivia.
Well, no, I'm going to leave the trivia out of this one, because I've talked to Shep about it before, and he'd rather leave that trivia, uncovered. But as soon as we mentioned that you were going to be on the show, we were told that you have the best stash ever.
Mustache,
that is.
There was a pregnant pause.
There certainly was. So, I believe that you have on occasion shaved it, and recently you shaved it for a very good cause, correct?
Wow, you guys are unbelievable. And Greg, I haven't seen you in a while. I just did it again yesterday.
There you go. See?
So,
see?
Look, we all believe in good causes. We all have friends and people and causes that need help, and whenever we can contribute, we do it in any way that we can. So my long hair growing down to my shoulder, those days are gone. If I could shave my mustache for Ethan Zahn, I'd do that as soon as it grows back. I'll do it again. So,
well,
yes, that's that trivia I'm proud to talk about. I wasn't sure what else you guys were going to mention.
We thought about it, and we figured, you know what, it's the holiday season. We'll leave certain things out, if you will. Well, Shep.
Also, listen, I got to, you have me on,
yes,
on with you, so I got to give you my 2 cents about American goalkeepers.
It's good, because we actually talked about it a little earlier on the show, so give us what you got.
Well, I'm just thinking of Bob Bradley picking his team to go to South Africa if the World Cup started tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, obviously Tim Howard is the man. By all indications, Brad Guzan will be that guy who he's looking towards the future and giving him some World Cup experience. But, you know, who's the other goalkeeper you bring? I don't know what you guys were thinking. I'd love to hear it, but I'll tell you who I think he's got to bring.
Okay, what do you got?
He's got to bring Marcus Hanneman.
Okay, so early
curses.
I win again. So we were talking about this, and I said, yes, Marcus Hanneman. However, Adam has an outside-of-the-box thought right up your alley.
I went with Friedel.
Well, you know what, Adam, I like that too.
Oh, here we go.
I just feel like if you're going to say Tim is going to start, I want Friedel as the guy who's coming off the bench cold, can step in, has the most experience, is ready to go at a moment's notice, maybe more so than Marcus would.
Definitely you have weight to that argument, but I'll give you the flip side of the coin. From all indications and from the players I know and from potential teammates down there, who would be more comfortable in that role on the bench if needed, Marcus Hanneman or Brad? Definitely Marcus Hanneman.
Yeah.
I mean, if Brad is there,
if Friedel's going, he wants to be number one.
Right.
He wants to play. So yeah. The chemistry of the team, it's, you know, physicality, everything else, I can't argue with Brad, but for the locker room, the team, no question for me, Marcus Hanneman would be the guy.
All right.
I like that. Greg didn't even mention the locker room aspect.
Yeah. The locker room aspect's a good one.
So,
that's why we bring this the master in.
Exactly.
He is the Zen master, Shep Messing. Shep, it is always good to talk to you. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And we're going to need some extra time in a little bit.
Anytime. Adam, Greg, thanks for having me. Happy holidays.
Number 10 in this week, starting 11. Bye bye Beckham.
Beckham Academy.
Bye bye Beckham Academy. Yeah.
Yeah, gone. I mean, I think when I first heard this press release, I thought it was just sort of like, of course, bad economy. Like, someone's not making enough money. They close him down. Of course, you read a little more into it, and the quotes coming from the Beckham side, the 19 Entertainment side, of course, has a different spin on it. And it's more about shutting down these static facilities and opening up the Beckham Academy to a larger reach and sort of a traveling circus, camp fair sort of
barnstorming
thing.
Beckham, that's what it's going to be.
Barnstorming Beckham.
I can't wait to see Beckham doing a camp in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I just want to know how much they pay the Beckham lookalikes to show up at these things. That's really the question, because you know he's not there.
I would love to see him like getting on a bus, though, and having to go to the next camp the next week.
Yeah, it would be just like his first season in MLS.
Pretty much. That would be very funny. Number 11, Eritrea defections.
Just a little curious add-on.
Yes, we just thought we'd throw this out. Here's the story. The Eritrean national team, all the players, right, defected. They were at the Senior Challenge Cup, which is an East African tournament that takes place, and it was taking place in Kenya this year. The Eritrean national team defected. 12 of the players defected. I loved the one report that had the team plane charter arrived back in Eritrea with just the coach and the trainer. And it's like, where are the players? What did he say?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's such a sad situation. Yeah. You get into Eritrea, it's just an awful dictatorship since they broke away from their neighbor and blah, blah, blah. It's serious trouble.
Yeah. And it did come out, actually, that the Eritrean players were forced to take a vow that they would not defect. So first of all, they're liars right there.
Right.
I don't know. They have asked for asylum.
We like to call freedom soldiers.
Right. They've been asked for asylum in Kenya. We don't know anything about
how I mean, but nothing against Kenya. How bad does it have to be to where, like, like Kenyan asylum?
I was
Man. Kenya's, I know, but
Kenya's a very nice place.
I'm just saying, like, how often does that come up? Well, we're defecting to Kenya.
Well, you know what? Let's hope that those 12 players from the Eritrean national team can come to the United States,
play in MLS.
They can play in the NASL.
Yes,
they can join the Tampa Bay Rowdies and the the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Good times.
Good times. Well, that is all we have for you this week on Waiting for Guidance. But don't forget to check out our webpage, waitingforguidance.com. Although at one point we are going to actually remember to say Waiting for Gajans. Because
Gajans.
It is Gajans. Also, we're at Twitter, at Gajans, G-A-E-T-J-E-N-S. And you can email us at podcast@waitingforguidance.com. Next week is Christmas week. We'll have a very special episode of Waiting for Gajans. We're joined by voices from all across the United States in soccer for a very special Christmas show. That's all we got, right?
That's it.
We'll talk to you next week.
We'll get it better next time.